Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Friday, December the 6th, 2013. Hope you had a great week and are looking forward to a good weekend. I know I have all sorts of holiday-related stuff to do this weekend, so it will be a busy weekend running errands and kind of getting ready for the holidays as we're now within 3 weeks of Christmas. We are live weekdays here during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We live stream and podcast our show for anywhere in the world listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, and the station site, kvoi.com. Our media partners also have been very good to us. Want to acknowledge them, TucsonCitizen.com, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, Greenville News and Sahorita Sun and blog for Arizona.com, all very much involved with the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon, Dr. Ann Weaver Hart. Dr. Hart is with us in studio. She is the president of the University of Arizona. Also joining me in studio, Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer and columnist. You can look for Sarah's columns every Thursday in the Arizona Daily Star. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Hart, she would be happy to entertain your question or comment on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. We also invite you to be one of our Facebook friends and join more than now 3,000 people who are following our work, and I want to personally thank each and every one of them for their support. Dr. Hart, how are you?
Very well. Thank you.
It's good to see you again.
Good to be with you, Bill. Thank you.
Sarah, good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
I want to begin with a very ambitious plan that Dr. Hart has laid out. It's a huge, sweeping document called Never Settle that, among other things, includes adding 9,000 students, more than 300 professors, more research dollars, getting UA graduates, quote, real world, unquote, ready, and a $1 billion plus fundraising campaign. Dr. Hart, this sounds like a major UA retooling.
Oh, I am very excited, and I'm extremely proud of the University of Arizona community for working together to develop such a comprehensive plan. We had over 4,000 people participating in the planning process that was spearheaded by our Strategic Planning Budget Advisory Committee and co-chaired by Dr. J.C. Mutchler and Dr. Andrew Comrie. And people really got engaged. We laid out a very ambitious, as you have described, academic plan that we think will carry us into this great new century in a very ambitious, positive, action-oriented way. And then we developed a comprehensive business and finance strategy to help us assure that we have the financial strategy to help us achieve those goals. As you said, it's very ambitious. Philanthropy is a huge part, a whole new approach to partnering that involves our new Tech Launch Arizona and other partnering with businesses that allow us to share resources to achieve mutual goals, and a way of developing our and building our research capacity for external grants and contracts are all a part of that business plan. I would invite your listeners to the website if they would love to see the 200-plus slides that went into our presentation to the Board of Regents.
Where can they find out more then about it?
On the University of Arizona website and also on my section of that website, and you can actually see the presentation. It's also on the Board of Regents website.
Before I turn it over to Sarah, I do want to follow up with one of the points that really jumped out at me that I really like, and it's this real-world experience for graduates.
Well, we are so committed to integrating knowledge across the full spectrum of human thinking. And the old ways of learning over hundreds and hundreds of years have been so capsulized in formal experiences without carefully orchestrated practice, applying knowledge to new situations and in new settings. And at the same time, the disciplines we invented as human beings in the centuries preceding, especially in the 19th century, that siloed knowledge no longer serve in the modern world, where we need to be flexible, good learners, and understanding how knowledge can inform completely different settings. So 100% of the undergraduates at the University of Arizona will have real-world, real-time-ready experiences that require them to apply what they've learned in formal settings into real-world situations to get them more ready for that world in which they will function with the knowledge they acquire.
And that will be noted on as they go to try to get that all-important first job or second job or whatever. It's going to be noted that they have kind of the real-world stamp of approval there.
With a transcript notation. Yes,
right.
It will be on the transcript.
There you go. Sarah Garrett Gassen of the Star.
One of the things that jumped out at me with the plan, and as you say, it is very ambitious, is the $1 billion plus fundraising campaign. So often we have giant, very welcome and very generous donations, but they go to things in athletics, or they go to things that are not the teachers in the classroom necessarily, or from the point of view of professors or students or even the public, focused on the core purpose of the university, which is knowledge, education. How do you convince donors to support the less glamorous, the not so flashy parts of the university that are in such need of support?
Well, first of all, I would encourage you to look at the slide that shows the proportion of our external gifts that go to athletics. It's only 7% at the University of Arizona. We depend a lot on our athletic supporters so that our athletic endeavors do not require subsidy other than tuition waivers from the university. So those donations are important to a very intensely loved and followed part of our community spirit. So I don't want to leave the impression that athletics is taking donations away from other parts of the university. Secondly, your point is well taken, that in the modern world of philanthropy, the majority of donors want to restrict the use of their funds to a very specific activity of the university. And what we are committed to do is to work with our potential philanthropists and contributors to find a shared passion of a point of excellence at the university that their gift can amplify to make us more effective in achieving our mission and goals while helping them to realize a passion of their own with their resources. And it's in many ways a marriage of a donor's passion and a university capacity. Donors are not interested in paying our light bills. And so we have to be very good at the business we do in reducing the total proportion of our revenue that goes to running the university and increasing the proportion of revenues that go to those central mission activities. Then we rely on philanthropy for that incredible value added of endowed chair positions for distinguished faculty, recruiting world-class faculty with packages that allow them to bring research teams and others with them. And that absolutely contributes to the world-class aspirations of the University of Arizona.
I would like to just mention that the U of A, from my understanding, is very unusual in that our athletic department is self-sufficient in terms of not taking tuition dollars, things like that. I do think it's a common misperception that people may have that that those dollars are mixed. Is that still correct?
That is still correct. We do have tuition waivers for our NCAA competitive athletes, but we are one of only a handful of universities in the whole country in which our donations, our corporate sponsorships, and our ticket revenue actually pay for the whole athletics program. So the revenue sports actually subsidize NCAA athletics, and without them, we would be in extreme difficulty with our Olympic sports and other tremendous opportunities available to young people.
12:14 on the Buckmaster Show. It's our Friday Focus interview. Dr. Ann Weaver Hart, president of the university, is with us as our Friday Focus interview. Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. We have a tuition question. Christopher, you are with Dr. Hart. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dr. Hart, for being on the air today. My question to you is, I'm a graduate of the University of Arizona in 1999. For all 4 years of college, it was about $12,000, about $1,500 a semester. So my first question to you is, what is in-state tuition now? My perception is that it's increased immensely over the last 13 years since I've graduated. And then I guess my follow-up question would be, for a land grant school or state school, are you not pricing yourself out of the market when it comes to young students' debt and so forth? I mean, what would you say to that?
Good questions there. Thank you, Christopher. Go ahead.
Thank you, Christopher. I appreciate your question very much. Your $12,000 would not pay your tuition bill for 1 year if you didn't have financial aid at the University of Arizona now. And you have pointed out a challenge and a struggle that all of our great public universities are facing. We now at the University of Arizona receive it from all sources of revenue to the general fund, $1,800 less per student than we did in 2008. And in the period since the major recession collapse, our proportion of funding from the state versus tuition has completely reversed. And the rapid decline of state funding is the reason for the tuition increases that have been implemented in the last 5 or 6 years.
All right, 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show. Rose, shall we take the break right here? Then we'll come back, and Ingrid will be up to the plate first on the Buckmaster Show Live Line after we hear from the very important messages from the people who make this show possible. Please support them. We'll be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Eagle Eye Rare Coins is Tucson's only nationally recognized coin dealer. For more than 20 years, owner and rare coin expert Rick Snow has been Tucson's trusted advisor in evaluating your coins, currency, collectibles, gold and silver. Eagle Eye Rare Coins at 6464 East Grant Road, next to the Fort Lowell Post Office, and on the web at TucsonSilverAndGold.com or call 498-4615.
In my 25 years in Tucson, I have had only one dentist, Dr. Lisa Fogel. This highly skilled dental professional has a caring, friendly, can-do attitude that makes Dr. Fogel the choice of the Buckmaster family. Dr. Fogel's lovely state-of-the-art dental office is conveniently located on North Swan, just south of Speedway. For an appointment, call 881-1856 or visit lisafogeldentalessentials.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We have Dr. Ann Weaver Hart, President, University of Arizona, with us. This is our Friday Focus interview today, and Sarah Garrett Gasson is with me in studio. Sarah from the Arizona Daily Star. And Ingrid, you are up to the plate first here on the Buckmaster Show live line. Go ahead. You're with President Hart.
Good afternoon, President Hart. This is a multifaceted question. Is the group that analyzes where donated funds are to go, is it a group of volunteers? Second, after the decision is made how the funds will be divided, what are the salaries of the people who actually receive those funds, record them, and deposit them?
Okay. Thanks, Ingrid. Okay, the question I think she was trying to say is how do you determine where who determines the donations?
The vast majority of donations that universities receive, and the U of A is no exception, are designated by the donor, and use is restricted to the program or opportunity that the donor designates. So University of Arizona does not receive a large number of undesignated donations for others to select, for a group to select where they are distributed. And this is actually a long-term trend in philanthropy across the U.S., and especially in philanthropy targeting universities, where an increasingly small proportion of our overall donations come unrestricted. We do have the 1885 Society at the University of Arizona, and a group that has chosen as a body of donors to give to unrestricted funds for strategic initiatives. But the proportion that we, and which I determine, but that is a tiny proportion of the overall gift, and we average about $150 million per year.
And like every university in the United States, you have professional fundraisers who work at the university.
Absolutely. And we have a University of Arizona Foundation that allows us to much more flexibly respond to those donors' desires and to provide them with anonymity and protection should they desire to be private.
Here is Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Star.
When I speak with high school students is I do high school outreach for the School of Journalism over at the U of A. One of the things that consistently comes up is, yes, I would like to go to college. I'm thinking about it, but I don't think I just can't afford it. And it's that tuition dollar figure. It seems to weigh in the minds of families who are talking, want to send their kids to school, and then kind of maybe self-selecting kids who think, oh, it's just too expensive, I can't do it, and they put the idea aside. Could you talk a bit about what the financial aid is available and what steps kids who and families who might think, oh, it's just out of reach, can take to find out about that? Because I don't know that people really understand that end of things.
Thank you, Sarah. I appreciate the question. I'm going to answer your second part first. I would encourage families, parents, and young people thinking about going to college. I have a blog on my president's page at the University of Arizona website about being a good consumer of higher education and talk very explicitly about some of the questions that you should ask for as a family as you think about who goes to college and how you pay for it, and lay out a series of suggestions. Let me just give you some of those. First of all, financial aid is available at the University of Arizona to the tune of hundreds of millions of tens of millions and hundreds of millions of dollars. It is both merit and need-based, and a very large proportion of our undergraduate in-state students receive more than half their tuition tuition remission based on either need or financial. So the sticker price shouldn't stop any student from looking at higher education. And there are so many different ways that it can be pursued. What I encourage in my blog is that you look at the size of check you're actually going to write and don't get discouraged by a website that lists the in-state and out-of-state tuition without financial aid and other means of support, because very, very few students pay the full sticker price, and there are so many ways to get support and aid. In addition to that, some really high-priced programs have given the impression that that's the cost. So if you pay $36,000 to $40,000 for a small liberal arts college, a private college somewhere in the country, and you get $20,000 of financial aid, it's very flattering. But if you still have to pay $25,000 in addition to that, the $12,000 plus sticker price we were talking about earlier on the show is still a bargain for you and your family. So, and there are many other ways you can do this. We have great articulation agreements with our community college partners, and you can substantially reduce the overall cost of 4 years of college by looking into those articulation agreements and doing your first 2 years in a community college and then transferring to the U of A. And in addition to that, carefully planning your registration so that you finish your program in a timely fashion. It will cost you 50% more to get a bachelor's degree if you average 12 hours per semester instead of 15 or 16. So planning ahead, looking at the market, thinking about what you really want to accomplish, and then being very wise and very thoughtful makes all the difference in the world.
Be a good consumer.
Be a good consumer. That's the title of my blog.
Yeah, there you go. Only a couple of minutes left with Dr. Ann Weaver Hart, and I want to talk a little bit about Old Main. Old Main is so dear to so many people in this community. There's a renovation project that's going to be going underway, or is underway right now.
Absolutely.
Right?
Mm-hmm. As many of you who are longtime Tucson residents know, Old Main is the most iconic building at the university, and maybe the oldest public building still standing in the state. It was first scheduled for demolition in the late 1930s, rescued during World War II, and has really been under stress for a long time. And we have made a strong effort to renew and redesign Old Main to restore its original architecture and make it even more a center for university life and the interface with our community. It's a fantastic project. We have learned so much. We've discovered old yearbooks in the wall. We discovered that the sound insulation between the first floor and the second floor was dirt and rocks and weighs a fortune, and that the floor was collapsing. The story is a wonderful one, and we would encourage everyone here in Tucson to follow this story of one of our most iconic and wonderful buildings in southern Arizona. And I'd also encourage people who are interested in visiting our website, reading my blog, and looking at other announcements about the university, that they can find it on president.arizona.edu.
Yeah, because the U of A, it's not just the campus. It is Tucson.
It is.
It's for everybody here. It's
absolutely
a resource, and that's part of your goal too, is the outreach.
It is, and partnering in a way that benefits the partners and the university and reduces the overall cost and amplifies the outcome.
All right, Dr. Ann Weaver Hart, on behalf of Sarah, I'm sure Sarah sends goodwill to you and yours as well this holiday season. All the best to you and the University of Arizona. Thank you for spending some time with us.
Thank you very much.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. There have been tears, but also singing and dancing across South Africa today, an emotional tribute to the life of Nelson Mandela. The anti-apartheid leader is being remembered for helping bridge the country's black-white divide and avert a race war. Solid job growth last month has cut the U.S. unemployment rate to 7%. Employers added 203,000 jobs in November, with higher-paying industries like manufacturing and construction adding more jobs. A wintry storm system is stretching from South Texas into northern New England and the Canadian Maritimes today, bringing frigid temperatures, ice, and snow. Stocks sharply higher on Wall Street. The S&P is up about 20 points, the Dow up by triple digits. More details at srnnews.com.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business. It's not personal. It's just business.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top-quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 26 years as the place to see one-of-a-kind, new and antique quality rugs. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and at RugGalleryAZ.com and on Facebook or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847.
Have you had a chance to visit Biosphere2's engaging Facebook page yet? Our likes have doubled the last 30 days, so check it out and you'll see why. Inspire and stimulate your mind with all the exciting things going on both inside and outside every day at Biosphere2. Experience our new architecture, engineering, and history tours. The University of Arizona's Biosphere2, a world of discovery and adventure. Like us on Facebook and visit today.
Chance plays a big part in today's world. There's a 5% chance you were born with an extra rib, a 12% chance we'll have a solar megastorm in the next decade, and a 20% chance that if you got in a road accident in Sweden, it was caused by an elk. Well, Cox Business understands that chance has no place in running a small business. Get business internet and phone for just $99 a month and enjoy the 100% certainty that comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's right, you get 100% certainty with phone features like on-the-go voice manager and internet speeds faster than basic DSL. Plus, 100% confidence with service that's been honored with the J.D. Power Award for highest in customer satisfaction with small mid-sized business wireline service. Make the switch today and get some certainty in an otherwise uncertain world. There's now a 99% chance this commercial is over, except for the legal.
Offer ends 12/31/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Must be claimed within 30 days of service activation. Other conditions apply. For J.D. Power Award information, go to jdpower.com.
Time for our Friday Reporters Roundtable here on the Buckmaster Show. Mark B. Like Boy Evans joins us. Mark is the has been now for a couple of months the new editor of Inside Tucson Business, and he's gradually making changes. The first of probably many to come.
I won't be done probably until the middle of next year.
So we'll be looking for a change, hopefully very soon. Oh, we're seeing some changes, and congratulations, doing a good job. Sarah Garrett Gasson is here, columnist and editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star. Sarah and Mark, we were not here last Friday, so we did not have a roundtable, so Rose and I could enjoy a little extended Thanksgiving weekend, but of course, the big story that kind of broke right before Thanksgiving was this really scandalous situation with 6,500 child abuse and neglect reports that really didn't get followed up by Child Protective Services. Just it's a mess, Mark Evans. It's a mess.
Yeah, and I don't know what will come of it all politically, but if people don't lose their jobs, that will be an even bigger, as big a scandal, I think. Right now, the governor is protecting the head of the DES, which is Clarence Carter, but she has created a task force to come in and review what's going on, what happened. Over and above the 6,500 cases that they discovered that had this mysterious designation put on it of NI, which means not investigated, they just weren't checked up on at all, the CPS has a 10,000 case backlog in which the overwhelmed caseworkers just case has been opened. There's been a phone call made. It's not like these other 6,500 where nothing happened. Something has happened, but progress hasn't been made because they haven't been able to get to the case and get to investigate it because of the backlog. And they have 12,000 open cases currently, in addition to it's part of the backlog. So, you know, the legislature put up some money this last session about, I forget what it was, $150 million, mm-hmm. or they were going to hire 150 people, and I don't know what the millions of that was attached to that. But those people still have to be hired, they have to be trained, they still have to be flowed into the system. So that should help with the backlog, but, you know, how you got 6,500 cases that were just given this designation, and who did it and why. I know they've suspended, I think, five supervisors. And on top of this, over the weekend, they find a box of CPS case records in the alley in Phoenix. And no one knows how it got there or what it was doing there or whether it was abandoned or lost or stolen or what. The CPS is a big mess, and I think it needs a massive overhaul and reform.
And it's interesting the approach that the pretty much along party lines, the way the Democrats see the fix being more money. This is a money issue, and Republicans are saying, no, it's not a money issue, and there's no need for a special session. Let's let this panel that has been put together, this blue ribbon panel, let's let them first come up with their findings, Sarah.
Yeah, it's predictable, and it's sad. And I find it just reprehensible that it's just expected that we have a child welfare system that it doesn't come as a surprise really anymore. And this is my comments aren't geared toward the caseworkers and the case aides and the supervisors, most of them, who
they're hardworking people.
Go in day
and they burn out really quickly, too. A lot
day
of these
out,
young people burn out after a couple of years.
And they're very low paid for what they're expected to do. So when the Republican leadership says, oh, it's not a monetary thing, I find that somewhat laughable. Because if you're paying someone $30,000 and overloading them to the extent that happens with cases that are not easy to deal with, not easy to go into people's home. I did a follow a ride along with a caseworker. This was several years ago, but she was telling me that she goes into these situations, going into homes, talking, you know, about possibly having to take children and doing investigations by herself. I mean, that is just, there was a case where she was like, well, we can go do this one. We can visit this family because I might have to take the kids. And because you're here, you know, just as another random person, then it wasn't as dangerous a situation. So I think the idea that you can, as the Republican budget has done, dismantle the support system, not just CPS, but drug abuse treatment, support for families in many, many other ways, and then come back and say, oh, well, we gave you your money back, and everything should be fine, isn't something that it realistically will help the children of Arizona, and it's just sad.
I think that's the other angle of the story, is that, yes, the state agency that is tasked with investigating cases of neglect and abuse of children is overburdened and overwhelmed. And so it might not be surprising that there has been this 6,500 missing cases. But what we really have to do as a state is get to the bottom of, why do we have so much abuse and neglect of the children in this state, and what are we doing to resolve that? You know, maybe money does solve the issue. Maybe we do hire a whole bunch of more investigators, and we do reduce the caseload, and we do get to these cases much faster. Great. But you've still got a whole bunch of abused kids, and that's the real issue. That's what we've got to stop. It's not just investigating the abuse. It's finding out what are the root causes of it and fixing it.
Because when you cut funding in the support systems to mental health, to drug abuse prevention, for treatment services, for this whole array of support systems, that has an effect, and the effect rolls downhill, and it lands on children who are the least among us who are able to fend for themselves.
Let's go to Matthew on the Buckmaster Show live line. Matthew has a comment on topic about CPS. Go ahead, Matthew.
Well, just to put this in context, I mean, the state of Arizona is being looked at by the entire country. I mean, all you have to do is check your news and see that this is popping up on the national news networks, not the local news networks. Everybody around the country is following this issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a place like Missouri, I think it's Missouri, the governor is calling a special session. He's calling a special session so he can bring the legislature in to try and encourage Boeing to come to his state and what incentives they can have. Arizona, we're having to call a special session or talk about it because we are failing our children.
Yeah, it's another black eye, Matthew. It really is.
This is beyond the black eye. You can't calculate economically how destructive this is to Arizona's economy today and going forward.
I tend to agree with Matthew, Mark, and Sarah.
Yeah, I think the drumbeat of bad news coming out of Arizona definitely plays a role in trying to get businesses to relocate here, and whether that they want to be in a state that has the reputation that Arizona has currently. It's not all about just the levels of taxation. It's also about quality of life.
I absolutely agree. I think that's a really good point. that it's we have to look at things holistically and in the big picture, not just one thing on one hand and something else is unrelated. It's all connected.
All right. In Inside Tucson Business, Mark Evans's newspaper, you've got a piece you posted yesterday, City-County Cooperation Key to Finishing Downtown's Rebirth. We had Rahina Romero, the Tucson City Councilwoman, talking a little bit about that exercise, about this company that came in to talk about what should be done with downtown.
Right. So the Urban Land Institute
that's what it is, Urban.
Is an organization of professional urban planners, hence the name. But they have a kind of a – you can pay for and bring a team to town of that they call the panel that is made up of experts in – national experts who have done major downtown renovations and been successful at it as developers and as planners. So they brought the team to town. The team spent a week meeting with just about everybody who's anybody downtown, reviewing the past work documents, a lot of Arizona Daily Star stories, and offered up some ideas for what we can do for downtown. And it's very extensive rather than get into everything they suggested. The biggest takeaway that they left with, the thing that they said was most important, most vital, was to create some kind of body that is a planning committee that everybody is involved with who has a say in downtown development, that would come up with the plans to put in place, and then everybody agree to follow them, and that cooperation was key. I believe one of the planners said, you know, dissent is death, dissent is failure. If you're not all on board, then you won't get anywhere. And so the op-ed that I wrote was I completely agree with that, and I think one of the most important participants that hasn't really been participating in downtown revitalization is the county. Mm-hmm. It's mostly been the city in Rio Nuevo, and the city in Rio Nuevo screwed up. They created a mess. They have now made up, and they're trying to fix that mess, and there is evidence that downtown is much, much better. It's especially the east side when you get east of the big towers.
I think the Pima County should have had a seat at the table, and when the whole Rio Nuevo thing was going on,
right, and they were offered that, and they declined. Oh. And so, the most interesting, I think, probably the best sign of this, though, is the county helped pay for this Urban Land Institute to come in. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the county and the city are fighting over the county courthouse, the new courthouse right now. They might go to court over that. They've got to get beyond that, and I think the county needs to be a very important player in this because they're going to be a key funding mechanism for this because a lot of these plans aren't going to happen unless public money is put into the pot.
I agree that anything that – I mean – looking back, you can't really blame the county for not wanting to touch Rio Nuevo with a 10-foot pole. But, I think that nothing will happen unless everyone is at least speaking to each other and working on a common goal. And it sounds like the exercise that they did with the Urban Land Institute could be beneficial.
Sarah, I want to ask you, because I know how much you love animals like I do and a lot of our listeners. This is really a painful story to follow, this bighorn and mountain lions dying. It was very controversial, the 31 desert bighorn sheep that were released on November 18th in the Catalinas as part of a state project to reintroduce the herd to the Catalinas. A lot of people said it didn't work. Why are we doing it? I mean, it didn't work the first time. Why are we reintroducing these animals?
Right. And then surprise, surprise, the mountain lions, you know, see these.
Dinner has arrived.
Exactly. It's like the food truck. And so they go and do what they're going to do. And then there have been two that have been shot and killed. It's something that I don't know the ins and outs of all the biology and the science of it, but just on the face of it, I can't see why anyone would be surprised that this is the way it's turned out, and I can't see any other reason to think it's going to change.
Mark Evans with an I told you so. Right. You've written about this a long time ago.
I wrote about this last summer that I thought this was a really bad idea. Yeah. The idea is that the historic herd that used to live on the mostly in the Puss Ridge Wilderness and Puss Ridge Peak and the cliffs up there died out in the 90s. There's no question of that. They haven't seen any for a long time. There was – I can't remember the name of the fire. It was the Aspen Fire, and then there was another fire that was up on Mount Lemmon that – some of it burned San Diego Ridge. Some of it burned in the wilderness. And what had happened over the years is that there had been this big buildup of brush that made it more beneficial – made it easier for lions, who are ambush predators, to hide and lay in wait and attack the sheep. And that fire was supposed to have cleared out all that brush. So they said, well, we think now that the sheep population could survive. But the what they didn't take into account was the massive increase in the population over the last 20, 30 years all along that ridge. I mean, you've got Saddlebrook, Catalina, Oro Valley. And you've got hundreds of thousands of people all live within about a mile or two of the Forest Service boundary. You've got people – I used to hike up in the canyon back in the 80s, and it was – there was hardly anybody there. I mean, now you go for a hike in the Pusch Ridge Wilderness or in Romero Pools, and it's like a highway of people going up and down the mountain. I just don't see how this herd's going to survive. The sheep don't like to hang around where humans are. The deer might, but the sheep don't.
All right, let's go to a man who knows a lot about the outdoors. Joe Dreyfus is the host of The Visit here from 5 to 6 on Sunday afternoon. Joe, real quickly, weigh in on this. Give me your bottom line, Joe.
First of all, my grandparents were very successful in the 30s of doing predator control and saving the herd of bighorn sheep. We came into this next drought in the 90s, and it's basically, yes, fire is an issue. It can be successfully done very easily if we do some predator control, not unlike your city pound. The fact remains is the lion population is vibrant and good, so let's clear some out and give these sheep a chance to come back. I'll touch on this on my show this week, Bill, but bottom line, it can be successfully done if the transient population that has moved to my state will get out of the way and let them manage like they need to manage. And on a side note, when I worked on the Planet Ranch, every day I rode and every day I was in and amongst the sheep. Humans don't actually bother them that much.
Okay.
Once they get acclimated.
All right, Joe, thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
More on that on Joe's show, The Visit, 5 to 6, Sunday afternoon. Thanks, Joe, for giving us your opinion on that. And thank you, Mark and Sarah. Thanks a lot. Hope you both have a great holiday season. If I don't see you before then, thanks.
Thanks, Bill. Stay warm.
We want to change the way you think about an art gallery. This is Diana Medeiros inviting you to stop by one of our two Tucson galleries. We have beautiful art that will bring color and joy to your home. Some people think that an art gallery is out of their price range, but did you know we have a price point for everyone? We feature original art, plus we have two rooms filled with masterful reproductions and a huge selection of Southwest gifts, including hand-painted Lazy Susans, mosaic cowboy boots, and Native American baskets. We have Tucson holiday cards, art calendars, hard-to-find Southwest ornaments, and many other gift items. We even have mini canvases, something for everyone on your holiday shopping list. So try something new today and come on into one of our galleries. You will be delighted and surprised. Medeiros Gallery is color and joy. Stop by either location at Broadway and Cherry or Campbell and Skyline or call 623-4000. I hope to see you at one of the galleries very soon.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they save money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Limited time offer.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
It is the weekend, Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, food and beverage columnist for Inside Tucson Business, brought to you by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, where this Saturday in historic Silver City, it is time for the big tamale fiesta. That is right up Matt Russell's alley. Southwest New Mexico, spelled out .org, has all of the information, including the great places to stay like Spirit Canyon Lodge. Check it out, southwestnewmexico.org. I know you like tamales, you like tacos, you like just about any kind of food, don't you, Matt?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm thinking about the coincidences. You know, Big Tamale was my nickname in college. I think, how in the world have we arrived at that here on a Friday afternoon?
Oh, the Big Tamale. It is going to be such a busy holiday weekend. Tohono O'Chul, they do such a great job this time of year.
Yeah, wouldn't it be a lovely evening to be able to stroll through the Tohono O'Chul Park? Every year at this time, it's lit up with nearly 1 million twinkling lights, and it's holiday night at Tohono O'Chul, hot cocoa, lots of holiday treats, and a real fun schedule of music and dance performances, all starting tonight at 5:30. Tickets are just $15 for adults and $2 for children under 12. A great way to spend an evening with the family, Bill.
What's going on down at TMA, Tucson Museum of Art?
Yeah, well, if you love great art and great beer, a special Art on Tap event is going to take place tomorrow between 6 and 10 p.m. right at the Tucson Museum of Art. More than 50 artists are going to be out there showcasing their work, and 16 Arizona breweries are going to be serving up their suds. Pair that with some art demonstrations, live music, and some delicious food served up by a convoy of food trucks, and you've got yourself a great Saturday night. The fundraiser for the museum, only $50 a ticket, $20 for designated drivers. That's going to be a lot of fun.
I've never known you to turn down a Bloody Mary.
Guilty as charged, Bill Buckmaster. You know, we love a great brunch, and the one that caught my eye for this weekend is 47 Scott downtown, largely because of their innovative Bloody Mary menu, as you said. Now, I don't know how you like your Bloody Mary spill, but there's one down there that is made with a bacon wash rye whiskey, if you can imagine.
No.
That sounds unbelievably delicious. Now, there's other versions of this classic brunch beverage that will appeal to vodka and gin lovers as well, along with a show-stopping lineup of really great, delicious dishes like the pulled pork and egg hash. I say try 47 Scott for brunch tomorrow or Sunday starting at 10 a.m.
Hey, Matt, one more shout-out to Vero Amore, our longtime sponsor here, now officially in the new location over in the remodeled Plaza Palomino. Had a Vero Amore pizza last night. I suggest it for the weekend, too.
One of the hot new places to go. You know, Eric and Joshua Mussman are leaders in the culinary community, and I can't wait to go try the new place out for myself.
Quickly, what's in the column this week?
Yeah, there's a recent marriage made in foodie heaven, and it all started in Inside Tucson Business a year ago. So pick up a copy and find out how a newspaper can play Cupid right here in Tucson.
Okay, Matt, have a great weekend.
Thanks, Bill.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by, thank you, Culligan, Better Water, Pure and Simple. All of our in-studio guests really enjoy that bottle of Culligan water that is provided to them. Again, a big thank you to Culligan. This afternoon, John C. Scott, 3 to 5, they'll be doing the Bike in a Box. I wrote about it for all of our Facebook friends. I strongly suggest listening between 3 and 5, $45. We'll buy a child a bike, a kid who probably won't have much else this Christmas. Check out John's show. Rosemary and myself, we donated yesterday to the Bike in a Box, and we really do appreciate what John's doing. Wake Up Tucson, Monday, 6 to 8, and of course, Expert Talk with Phil Cedar starts at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. The Buckmaster Show, a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of the best producer anyone could ever want, Rosemary Brandt, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great weekend.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.